Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, this week, we're kind of coming to the end of it. This week is National 4-H Week. And of course, for some people, every week is 4-H Week because they're either going to a meeting, they're planning for a meeting, they're working on projects. 4-H goes on all year round. But, you know, it's good to highlight a week when hopefully people get more information. And I want to go back in time, not that that was necessarily better, but I think it's sort of interesting. And hopefully in terms of getting the newest information, some folks attended a special get-together last Sunday at the fairgrounds. And last night at Produce in the Park, the 4-H folks were there again and told me they'd answered some folks' questions. And of course, you can always check at any county extension office or go online. Every county has a page there. You know, just put in 4-H in whatever county or put in the Cass County Extension or whatever county you're in. You will find a lot of information. And of course, you can always go, and if you're really interested in more history that I'm going to talk about, you can just search for history of 4-H and you'll find lots of information. But one of the things that I know some of you listening will certainly relate to, wanted to go back and talk about the Iowa 4-H girls uniform. Now, I'm going to say I remember quite a few of them, but not these early ones. The first actual uniforms were in the 1920s and 1930s, and it was a two-piece dress of medium blue cotton. The skirt had knife pleats all the way around, and you know that sort of, the skirt sort of set the tone for the uniform for quite a few years. And the blouse for this was a straight top, rather long top actually, gathered into a waist band at the waist, kind of pulled it in a bit at the waist. The sleeves were elbow length with a white cuff, and the collar was a white midi style. And again, that style kind of stayed with the uniform for quite a few years. And the tie was a black fabric knotted at the front edge of the collar and hung straight down. That's important to note because later that tie changed. So then the next uniform came into existence in the later 1930s and was continued through 1947. And the skirt had pleats, again, still had some pleats in the front, and was fastened to an underbodice, and then this blouse went over the top, a sailor-type design, again, that same kind of collar that the first one had. But and there were stripes added around the edge of the collar, I believe three rows of braid, white braid around the edge of the collar. Again, a black tie, but this time it hung past the waist, and it was knotted very low. Also interesting that during the 1940s, in keeping with the Second World War, service stripes were placed on the left sleeve, indicating the number of years a girl was a 4-H member. Okay, 1948 was a pretty major change in that it became a one-piece dress, and the color changed to a blue-green, a dark blue-green broadcloth. But the collar kind of remained the same, that midi collar, and it did have the white braid trim around the edge. But this was a one-piece dress with a six-gourd skirt. Actually, it was pretty complimentary to most anybody's figure, young or old. Had a front zipper, and it had, of course, was covered, and a self-fabric belt. Short sleeves. Oh, now we have short sleeves rather than long sleeves. And the tie. Here's the major change for the tie. It was white instead of black, and also was straight across. And this became a challenge for lots of 4-H'ers because that tie wasn't supposed to be drooping. You know, I think it was mostly supposed to be starch that held it in place, but some people kind of cheated and kind of pinned them up under the edge of the collar so that it would be strictly horizontal. And it had to be tied with a square knot. That was a time that every young girl in 4-H learned to tie a square knot. So that tie, as I said, the color and how it hung changed from those early uniforms. But until 1963, there actually was a tie of some sort. Now, that dress, and that was my 4-H uniform, although it started in 1948, it lasted until 1963. So that uniform was in place from the time I was a 4-H'er until I came to Cass County and worked as a professional with 4-H girls. So that one lasted quite a long time. But it was a difficult uniform to sew. You know, if a 4-H'er wanted to sew that uniform, it was pretty difficult. All the pieces, all the braiding, the collar, and the zipper that was covered. There were a lot of techniques there that were a little difficult to sew. And of course, you wanted it to look really good. So that one, as I say, is a big memory one for me. But then I was working with 4-H'ers when the next one came along, and there no longer was a tie, there no longer was a midi collar. And sometimes it's described as a one-piece dress. As I recall, it was a matching skirt and blouse with a belt on it, so it looked like a one-piece dress. The color was now green, a light green and white cotton cord. It had a convertible collar, as I say, no more midi collar, still short sleeves, and we added the 4-H chevron on the left pocket, so that became the kind of an identifying feature, making it a special 4-H uniform. The next step, staying in fashion in 1968, so this one with the, and again had pleated skirt, by the way, we're still with pleated skirt, lasted 5 years. In 1968, again, changed with the fashions, and it became a one-piece A-line skimmer. Remember all our A-line dresses and the sheath? I mean, they're back in style. No longer a collar, no longer a pleated skirt, although it was sort of an A-line skirt, as I mentioned, but up until that time it had a pleated skirt. And this dress had a back zipper closing. It was a very simple skimmer dress, but lots of girls added a jacket also. So when they wanted to dress up and for special occasions, they added the jacket, and of course the 4-H emblem was still there. Then again, it changed. Remember when all of the double knit fabrics became the way to go? Then the color of the uniform became a clover green, and it could be made in different styles. Usually it was a skirt and a jacket, although it could be slacks also. So, you know, that was in 1973, 5 years that one uniform lasted. This uniform was easier to sew, it was easier to take care of, and it had greater varieties. I mentioned a blazer, a jacket, a dress, a skirt, a blouse, pants, many different kinds of options for the girls to choose from for their style, but still had the 4-H clover on it. What's the uniform now? Well, most often what you'll see is a 4-H t-shirt, and it could be a basic one that everybody knows from the state, or it could be a special county one because many counties design their own. But probably jeans and a 4-H t-shirt. Much easier living, much easier to take care of. In terms of 4-H as a program, late 19th, early 20th century, and it really came into play because of county school superintendents. Now, there's some discussion about where the first 4-H organization began, but according to the history that I've looked at, and I'm pretty sure this is correct, the first one was the superintendent of schools in Clark County, Ohio. And this became a model for formally organized clubs. Now, maybe in Iowa, they started in some other form. You know, there's where the kind of discussion comes in. And also, Jesse Field Chambaugh in Page County. Jesse Field was a school superintendent, helped to start it in Page County. And of course, there is lots of history in Page County about it. But at the same time, Mr. Benson in Wright County was starting 4-H organizations. And both of these school superintendents encouraged local teachers to work in the 4-H club organization and do teaching. Another county superintendent, Cap Miller in Keokuk County, also pioneered in 1904. He made plans and urged his teachers to promote clubs and teach farm subjects. So out of that, of course, we had the boys' agriculture clubs, we had the girls' home culture clubs, and taught basic kinds of things. Before this time, the home culture clubs, there might have been corn clubs, pig clubs, you know, very subject-oriented clubs. And that has come back to be, in a way, a special subject clubs, not necessarily corn and pigs, but other interests such as Lego clubs or archery clubs. So sometimes what's in the past comes around again because it serves a good purpose. So a bit of 4-H history, and hope you are enjoying 4-H as a leader, a member, or just a community member. Until next time, here's a thought. The 4-H motto is make the best better.